This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Intent today is in contrast, but also in continuation from last week's. Last week it was divine aid for liberation. This week it is a recognition of the human potential for liberation. We might look at this, see some sort of a contradiction, but we'd have to be really looking hard for a contradiction in order to find one. In order for something to occur, there needs to be a potential. And just because there is a potential doesn't mean that that potential will ever be realized. We are beings of immense and vast potential. But even if we devoted all of our time and energy into realizing our own potential, we would only realize a very small amount. We are vast. Moreover, within us is a divine mystery, is the divine itself. The lesson for today is from the Hermetic literature. And it says that mortal cannot draw near to immortal, corruptible to incorruptible. That there are two aspects of everything. It's the divine, mundane, the human, the normal. The immortal and the mortal, that which doesn't pass away and that which is continually coming into being and passing away. But that the human being is both of these things. Both of these supposedly opposite aspects of everything have been brought into one form, into one nature within us. The more orthodox formulation of this is that the human and the divine were brought into one nature only once, for one person. And that one person is all God and all man, and that this doesn't happen again. But we see it merely projected onto one being. We're missing our own participation in it. We're kind of missing the whole point. Decide whether or not to try out this joke, but I guess I will, because I'm crazy. Anyway, say there are a couple that are seeking around for another church, trying to find one that will fit their ideas of things, and the fellow has one burning question. He wants to know how Jesus, how Christ could be all God and all man, or how this combination goes together. And so he has a habit of going to different places and asking to try to get a good answer. So he goes to a church, and he goes up to the minister afterwards and asks, something I've never really quite understood. This is the nature of Christ, is the nature of Jesus. How does this work? What parts of him are God? What parts of him are man? How do you put these parts together? How does this thing work? And the minister, being overschooled in theology and realizing that he can never use any of that information or learning with any of the people who might come into his church, has kind of grown wise. He's used hymnal theology to try to explain things. So you refer to the poetry of hymns instead of trying to come up with these abstract philosophical concepts. He says, well, you know that hymn. In Christ there is no east and west, no north and south. It's like that. And the fellow nods, okay, I can understand that. And he leaves with his wife and she asks, well, did he give you the answer you were looking for and how to fit these pieces together? No. But at least he admits that Christ didn't come with directions. There is a way of trying to look at this that's a bit more on the literal side. Yeah. And ways of trying to view these symbolisms that are hard to convey. And yes, Christ didn't come with directions anyway. But try to get a notion of wholeness, a notion of the lack of division across is very difficult. Because we experience divisions. We experience divisions within ourselves all the time. And to view some guy is God, is weird. Let's just admit it. It's weird. A lot of people today can't wrap their heads around it. And they think it's either because the people who see that are crazy, or the person who appeared to make that claim was just nuts. Or imaginary, or both. You know, you can have it both ways if you're being critical, apparently. And you can write books and sell them. Who figured? But anyway, we're looking for a division. I'm not going to find it. And if we're looking for intellectual satisfaction, well, we're not really looking for what might really be there. What might be true might satisfy us intellectually, but having gone to this point in human thought, we know that systems of thought have their limitations, and that our trying to fit what we experience into some system of thought, we're going to cut a lot of it off. Every system of thought is like a Procrustean bed. That's the old myth of the sailor, the ancient sailor Procrustes, who, whenever he captured somebody, threw them on his bed and cut them down to size so that they would fit his bed. He had one notion of what a human being should be like. If they were too big, they're too small, stretch them out. Make them fit. And we do this with how we think about these things. We want them to fit our ideas. But human and divine are both things that we experience. It makes more sense to view them as experiences, as what philosophers call phenomena. Take a phenomenological approach, that we can encounter and experience the divine and the human. We can encounter the divine through another human. It's rare. Can't say that I've done it myself. Apparently, at least 2,000 years ago, this was done. And there are other individuals who seem to embody this. Messengers of the light, as Mani called them. That one could see in them one's own divinity. One could see in their example, lived out, one's own liberation. And so there is a human potential, not just to see these things, but to live them out, to realize them to some extent. But it isn't a do-it-yourself project, as a bishop likes to say sometimes. It isn't easy to accomplish. It isn't that since you have the potential, you have to prove that you will have no existence in doing this. Since you could theoretically do all of the work in building a house, doesn't mean that you have to do all the work in building a house, including digging the foundation with a shovel and designing it yourself and all of these things. Sure, maybe you'll get some satisfaction out of it, but a little too much hubris going on there. Too much trying to think that the potential that you have has been fully realized and that you just have to demonstrate it or something. So instead of trying to separate out mortal and the immortal, the human divine, realize that we are both of these things. The cross is a symbol of the meeting of two different things, a vertical separator and a horizontal separator. The human being is always at the center, is the union of these two. Realizing out from that center, from ourselves, from our consciousness, the human and the temporal, the physical, our lives is formed in the world. And also that divine nature that is a part of us, that eternal nature that is being lived out from us as well. We are both. The human being is the uniting of both. Another way of looking at this Gnostic myth of God emanating into the darkness, into the emptiness, and then this process of creation from that, in which is the final emanation, which Sophia comes into the darkness and gives birth to the cosmos and becomes the mother of our souls, is that the fullness, the wholeness, the absolute everything of God had nothing further to become. There was no growth possible. There was no really beingness possible. If you're everything, you're also nothing, as a lot of the texts who describe this state say. If Roma was everything, it was nothing. There's nothing you can say about it, not say about it. But that in this process of becoming ultimately us, that there is growth, that it is in that moment, in that point at the center of the cross, where the divine, mortal, the immortal, the eternal, the temporal meet, is there in our natures, that the growth of God can occur. God is merely all things, the potential for all things. There's no growth, there's no process. It's static. might be perfect, but it's also inconceivably remote, not really alive in a lot of ways. There's no livingness going on. But in becoming human, emanating out, being involved in the creation of the universe, and ultimately becoming these sparks of light that are within us, God becomes flesh in us, grows in us. We are the expression, the growth of the divine, of its realization, of its consciousness. And that is big. It's not an easy answer. It's something that we can either identify with, say, yes, I am this, because that leads to ego inflation. It leads to thinking we are, in our entirety, the whole of the divine. And that part of us that thinks we are that is a very small part of us. Ego has a very important role. It is not the whole of us. It's like our hands thinking they are the whole of the body. They don't need the heart anymore. They don't need these lungs. We are the important part. And that leads to imbalance. That leads to a disruption in this process. To really grow and live out the life of the divine into the world, we need to partake in that eternal process. And also partake in our life, the world. These are not separable. Not be done individually. The overemphasis of one or the other will lead to imbalance. So we are this conjoined nature. And living that out is giving the fullest expression of the divine. And also the development, the growth, the maturation, the becomingness of the divine. Old Testament scripture, you know, the story of Moses. God describes himself as, I am that I am. And it's translation, Hebrew, a little more dynamic. I am that I am becoming, or I am that which becomes, that which comes into being. And that is the divine. That is our truest self, our truest core. And we, living that out, do more than homage to the divine. You know, this isn't a step aside and say, oh God, you're great, oh great, oh great, give me something good. We are agents of God. We are bringing this into the world. We are, in a mysterious way, also God. And so Christ becomes not a one-time event. Not the one person who, through a lot of previous working out of things, was set up to be the only human with the touch of the divine. But every human is of two natures. Lesson for today is from the canonical scripture. It's from John. See it as being a contrast to this other teaching from the Hermetic literature. But it also follows its spirit in a lot of ways. It says repeatedly, do not be afraid. And that Jesus is talking, and he's saying, you believe in the Father, believe also in me. And we know that this word belief in the Testament isn't doxa, it isn't the Greek word for opinion or belief or expectation. But it's the word pistis, the word that means trust. You trust in the Father, trust also in me. You trust in this divine process because you know it, you have gnosis of it. Wherever you see it, trust in that. And that is forever unfolding in this world. It also contains the line, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you. You see this in a lot of different ways. But in continuing this element of story that I've been talking about, where we are the realization of the divine, that there is a place particularly for us. There is a very personal, related place. That God, if you want to use that term, or the divine, the immortal, the eternal, is waiting for us to return and to be a part of that completion, be a part of that development and that growth. There is a specific need for each of us. And that in a way can help with the hubris that our minds might cook up for us, the ego inflation, because it isn't just me God wants. It's every me who has ever been and will ever be. We are all a part of this process. We are all a realization of the divine. We may not succeed in a given life, a given time, in a given place, in bringing that divine to life. bringing that light into the world. We are all expected. We're all desired. There is a place for us. It isn't that what we do here is going to completely end and be obliterated and be pointless. This is some sort of a game wherein we either get to the salvation shooter ladder or the damnation. I guess we get the salvation ladder, the damnation shoots. You know, it's not a game of shoots and ladders. It's very real. What we do here matters. And it has vast ramifications. So that we are not merely going through the motions in life. And bringing the divine, bringing this vertical into the horizontal, into our lives, and realizing what potential we can. We are continuing in this process, and that, if we are successful to any degree, will be received. Will change the nature of the divine, will result in development and growth. All these are metaphors. I think they point to something very true. Our language is very unwieldy, speaking about subtle things. But if we see these stories, if we look within ourselves, you will hear an echo. They are true. It's part of the Gnostic method of seeking out truth. That within us, there is a gnosis. And if we hear something, if we consider something, if we find a way to hold on to it for long enough, we might hear that inner echo. I see, there is something here, something we must attend to. So, may we, going about our lives, realize, have this gnosis, this recognition of our potential for liberation, and the potential in every human being. Everyone has this potential. And do what we can to foster that within ourselves, to aid others in achieving that, to help this greater process along. One of the ways in which followers of Christ have always seen themselves is as sons and daughters of the light, children of God. And if we see within this understanding, we are realizing God, and others are realizing God as well, bringing this into creation, to fruition. And we can see our connectedness more closely. We are all a part of this. We're all in this together. There is no true division within us. In this regard, between us in this regard. The divisions are of a different order in nature. They are of the order of the forms of life, forms of the world, our more material nature, our psychological nature. In our spiritual nature, there is no east and west, north and south, but within us, not between us. We are all moving forward, living out the life, the light within us, bringing that light into the world. And ultimately, another story puts it, returning to our true home, but having obtained a pearl, having obtained something here, having become something here that is of infinite value. May the blessing and mystery that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us and remain with us always. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.